thanks for coming out on another Saturday. And it takes a lot of commitment for people to give a part of the Saturday to come to something like this. And it says a lot about commitment of people who come to this hour of the day on a Saturday afternoon. And I want us to receive one of the strongest and hardest working brothers I know. You know, it's been a work any harder than it is to keep Muhammad. And he's been doing a great job giving leadership to our community during this whole season. So come on, let's receive him.
In the name of God, in the Arabic language we call him Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is but one God. And I bear witness that Abraham, that Moses, that Jesus, that Muhammad are his servants. I am greatly honored to stand before you on behalf of many in our community that have been crying out for justice. It is in the names of those that cry for justice, and it is in the names of all of those that stand for righteousness that I greet you. With the greeting words of peace, we say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. Can we give our Pastor Humphreys big round of applause? While certainly we all have demonstrated our levels of commitment, that pastor not only has demonstrated his, but his entire congregation has opened up the doors for us. And as you have witnessed while we've been meeting, the building has been under construction and is evolving right now. So as you hear the workers work, we don't want to slow them down. We don't want to stop them because Olivet has its mission. But as you might know, that sound booth in the back wasn't there when we started these town halls. And they've been renovating the restrooms and bringing them up to the most modern and beautiful standard. And so we're thankful to the congregation here at Olivet Institutional Missionary Baptist Church, because surely they may have desired on some occasions to have whatever family and community events that Olivet may be interested in. And so can we give a big round of applause for the congregation? And so, continually meet with regularity. Now, why do we continually meet? One might think, well, why don't we just show up when the court procedures happen? Well, if we were waiting for the court procedures to happen before we engage the process, then the very process that we've seen evolve over the months would never have happened.
That's right.
And so the possibility that BART could develop civilian oversight would never have happened if we didn't engage and press them for every step and inch where progress has been made. It never would have been consideration that there be an outside investigator to look at BART operations were it not for public pressure. In fact, the district attorney may never have brought charges against one person were it not for the continued meetings and activism of those who love justice. And so we're here because this fight against injustice is not one that you can take lightly.
That's right.
We are fighting against a champion. A champion that is wicked and evil and represents injustice, yet has been a champion. Goliath in the Bible was a champion.
Yes.
Pharaoh in the Bible was a champion. Nebuchadnezzar and others in the time of Babylon were the champions of their time. But if you and I are going to even consider taking on a champion, then we're going to have to learn to constantly train and condition ourselves to meet and overcome any tricks of the trade of the champions. You know, champions are tricky. They know how to play the home team thing. They know how to change the rules in the middle of the game. They know how to feign an injury and really trying to suck you in to take them on where they're strong. They're not champions for nothing. Goliath evidently knew how to fight. So as we are taking on these that have been champions in wrong, know for a surety that when we stand on right, that we will win. This is a win-win fight. So long as we stand on right and we stand on the principle of justice. This is a fight that takes a little time. Justice. What is justice? Justice is the eventual working out of the will of God. It is the weapon that God uses to right historical wrongs in the day of judgment. Now, on Tuesday, Mr. Metherly will stand with his defense team before a judge. But if you'll notice, unless there's a plea bargain, you know how they do our poor brothers. Throw some drugs in the car. Let them know that we heard that you were at the scene of the crime and you would do better to accept a plea bargain. And if you challenge this procedure, we're going to give you more time than you ever could have imagined. Right. They've tried that with our brother J.R., who on January the 7th, I believe it was, the day of the protest at Fruitvale BART, and in that evening, when many angry activists gathered in front of City Hall, and after the evening was done and police decided that they had to arrest somebody, they looked at our favorite Bayview reporter, saw him with his cameras, and arrested him. Took him to trial, and when he said that he was not guilty and was prepared to prove his innocence, as I understand it, the judge threatened him. They didn't want to spend court time and money for this young man to prove his innocence. They hoped that they could lay a case against him and he would roll over and spend a few months in jail for nothing. Well, they have not anticipated that brothers like JR would rather stand and fight for justice, and they did not anticipate that the community, in the case of the murder of Oscar Grant, would not roll over and go away, but would challenge them every step of the way at BART to do right. Every step of the way at the district attorney to do right. For we have no choice. For we didn't step into this to watch injustice remain. For Martin Luther King said that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So now, what's coming in the coming days that requires our participation and our attention? First and foremost, the defense attorneys for Johannes Metherly have filed their venue change motion, seeking to have this trial removed from Alameda County. And in his filing, Attorney Raines offered what I would call, at the least, history revisionism. He decided it was important to give a black history lesson on the founding of the Panther Party here in Oakland, knowing that even to conjure up the image of the Panther Party to the district attorney and before the judges. I don't know how long Mr. Jacobson has been on the bench, the presiding judge, but I do know that former district attorney, it's good to say that.
That's right.
Former district attorney Tom Orlock failed in his effort to prosecute Huey Newton not once but twice.
Yes, right. In court.
So now I wonder, what is the view that the district attorney's office had or has of the Panther Party? And if Mr. Raines' allegation is that because the Panthers existed and were formed in the city of Oakland, that black people in the city of Oakland cannot serve fairly on a jury, we'll stop right there. You got Klansmen all over Alameda County. Does that mean that white people cannot serve in a case where a black person is charged with a crime against a white person? They've been on the juries far more than we have been. We are 13% of the county, but probably less than 5% of the juries. So even in his argument that the numbers of people that he interviewed and polled and came out with some fantastically false numbers, he said that after reviewing potential jurors in Alameda County, Metherly's defense, that was it, 78% of black people feel that Metherly is guilty. Well, to be quite frank about it, that's not the question. You setting me up. You walk up to me and say, white cop shot black man on TV. Do you think he's guilty? Answer, yes. 78% wouldn't be high enough if you asked me that question. But that's not the question. The real question is whether or not you can serve fairly on a jury. And then the next question is, can black people be fair? Well, quite frankly, the idea that we are unfair by nature is racist as a supposition. If you presuppose that because I'm black, I'm unfair if a white person commits a crime against a black person, that I cannot fairly review the case. Look, if we were that unfair, America would have been burned down a long time ago. If our view is that because we know that whites in history and in current era have mistreated black people, that we cannot be fair, I would tell you, be honest with you, quite the opposite is more than likely. You get black CEOs and companies who refuse to hire black employees because they don't want to seem like they're being favorites. This is very common. You get black elected officials who feel like they have to get other than black management and staff because they want the world to know that look how diverse we are. This happens in Oakland. Y'all with me right now? So the notion that black people cannot be fair on a jury, quite frankly, is an insult and a lie. If they did not ask the right question, they would not get the right answer. But now if you showed me a videotape of a man shooting somebody and asked me if I thought that he was guilty and I'm looking at the tape, quite frankly, it wouldn't matter what the color of their skin was. That's just a fact. Right now in Chicago, many people are gravely disappointed and angry because a young man was murdered by another young man, both of whom were black, or a group of young men, on a cell phone video. And the community rightfully wants justice. But unlike Johannes Metherly, arrests were made right away. The district attorney did not afford those young men in and near Chicago time to work out their defense, as was done with Johannes Metherly arrests were made right away and issues of warrants have gone out for those that have not been arrested, and it's been less than 14 days. So as we're looking at Mr. Raines raising an argument that is full of revised history, he has thrown a kitchen sink out at a case. And maybe he hopes if I throw enough stuff out there, something will cause confusion. Mr. Raines himself is trying to create confusion with his argument. Well, that's nice, Mr. Raines. And then he said, when we try to exclude black jurors with tough questions, that I will be perceived as a racist. Well, I might have perceived that before you came in the room, Mr. Raines. I may have. But what does that have to do with whether or not the persons that you interview can serve fairly on a jury? He spends most of his motion dealing with us. Very little of his motion dealing with this case. So he is now trying to diminish in the court of public opinion the impact of us and seeking to take the view of another judge at a later time when he seeks to make an appeal. He wants to taint the view of how the current judge would make a decision. Is the current judge afraid of black elected officials?
Okay.
Of black activists? I don't know where he gets these notions from. He's making up stuff. If judges were afraid of black people, why did we go to jail so much? It don't even make sense. Black elected officials go to jail too.
That's right.
I went down to visit a prison one day. When I got there, I was shocked to see a former city council person. I mean, it shocked me. I hadn't seen my sister since she was an activist elected official in Compton. And I went with the Nation of Islam to share words of guidance to the sisters in the prison. Here came the city council person. And had I gone to the men's prison, I might have found the city council men. Or the mayor.
That's right. That's right.
So the idea that judges are somehow bent or their vision of justice skewed by the people that have suffered injustice more than anybody else. If our voice was that impactful on judges, then the prisons would not be so overwhelmingly black now.
That's right. Make that plain.
So it doesn't add up. Mr. Raines is hurling the kitchen sink. However, in his hurling of the kitchen sink, you should know that he is insulting the community. He is insulting the court procedure. He is insulting the profession of law, and he is insulting all of those of us that have taken a stand to stand on the side of justice. So on Tuesday, before we go into the hearing, we are asking that everybody join us at the steps of the Alameda County Courthouse. We begin to gather at 11:30, and we intend to make our views known by noon. Why wait till Tuesday? Because we don't want Mr. Raines to walk into court with our words.
That's right. That's right.
If he wants our words, you have to come to the courthouse steps and listen to them.
That's how you do it.
Since he seems to want to use our words for his filings, and by the way, I was so impressed when I read some of your words. I said, whoa, Councilperson Brooks said that. Go ahead. Mr. Carson said, oh, Mr. Carson, that was a good one. But what Mr. Raines is seeking to do is to build up the confusion for the court, so that when he loses his venue change motion, and when God blesses us to secure justice in the criminal proceeding, he wants to go back and appeal the process, declaring that the judge and the jury were unfair to his man. Well, quite frankly, his problem is not the judge. His problem is not the jury. His problem is what Meserly did. Let me say that again. His problem is not the judge. His problem is not the jury. His problem is that Johannes Meserly, instigated by one of his partners, Anthony Peroni, protected by other partners in crime, Marisol Dominici, Officer Whippenden, together, both committed a crime and supported the crime that was in action. If I drove up on a bank, and my friend jumped out of my car and ran in the bank and demanded money without a proper withdrawal form, and jumped back in my car with a bag of money and a weapon in his hand. And I looked at him, what you doing with that? Man, just drive. Once I drive off with him or her in that car, I am now an accomplice to a crime. The new DA should consider whether or not Anthony Peroni should be charged with a crime. BART needs to stop seeking to protect its image and fire Anthony Peroni. Just throw him under the bus. He's costing you money. You're already overstretched in the budget. You can save $8,000 a year and offer that salary to some decent officer. Anthony Peroni is not the one. They are afraid that by firing him, that somehow they would be accepting a level of responsibility. To be quite frank about it, one would think that between the Myers-Nave report and the Noble report, that they are to discuss, I heard today, in an emergency meeting on Thursday, what to do with these reports. Well, there's a question that's been raised. Can part-time legislators, BART board, manage a full-time lethal police force?
That's the problem right there. That's the problem.
If the BART board is not willing to accept responsibility for the potential lethal actions of their law enforcement department, this question, should BART have police?
No.
I read some of the statistics. They did a poll. Noble did a poll. And the BART Police Union did a poll. First, let's listen to some elements of the police union poll. The police union took a poll, and they found that their enforcement officers are woefully demoralized. They got a losing attitude. In fact, it said that 51% of the working officers wished that they did not work for BART.
That's right.
And if they had to do it all again, they would have applied for a job, I don't know, Park Police,
somewhere.
Alameda County Sheriff's, Hayward PD, San Leandro PD, OPD, anybody but BART.
That's right.
In fact, their morale's so low that they won't clean up after themselves. And Noble went to the locker room and said they had never seen anything like this.
It
looked like the locker room had been, I'll use the term, ghettoized. You know how we get when we don't take ownership with where we live sometimes? And you'll have some who maybe don't live in a community, but they drink and smoke in the community.
Right.
And the habit is, drink my can and throw it on the ground. Don't wait to the restroom. Find a corner in the hallway, underneath the steps. Some of us have seen this reality, right?
Yes.
In our community.
That's right.
Well, they, according to Noble, that was the reality in the BART locker room. So you've got a demoralized police force. Who wants an emotionally unstable armed officer on the train? Then it was stated by the passengers that among their greatest of concerns was they want to see BART officers on the trains. But to be on the trains, you got to kind of like your job.
Right.
That means I'm now walking the beat. That would be a form of BART community policing. You mean I have to engage people? I have to talk to them? You mean I may have to smile at people? You mean I may have to act like I'm policing human beings? That would be the duty of a beat officer that walks the trains.
Right.
I noticed you never see BART officers on the trains. They weren't on the train on the night of January the 1st. They stayed in their cars and had to respond to the train from other places. Now, to take it a step further, many feel unsafe in the parking lots at BART.
That's right.
But do you need armed police officers to make a parking lot safer? Or might a parking lot be made safer by offering, I don't know, UC Berkeley football team in the off season? Put on some security shirts, escorts. So when our sisters and brothers and elders need to make it out to the bus stop or make it over to the parked car, might that kind of safety be provided by paid escorts who earn half the money that a commissioned law enforcement officer might receive? They might be able to double the size of the force by getting away from armed officers and using a visible escort. How often is it that a crime is committed at BART that requires an officer to even pull a weapon? And how many of those crimes might be deterred by planned prevention efforts? So if there were on every train, you and I and others like us have on a shirt that says BART Escort, BART Peacekeepers, BART Dream Team, whatever it says, that might people who with proper training and communication with concern for the safety of others, might people without guns be able to maintain better safety at BART than officers parked out in lots, sitting in an office with a gun on their hip. And when the call comes, feel like they're going to have to kill somebody because they had to run up the escalator and was out of shape.
Yeah, they all.
See, the whole question of whether or not BART really needed a law enforcement authority of that magnitude really wasn't answered well by Noble. Except that our poor brothers and Noble, they're law enforcement officers themselves. So I would imagine the last thing they would want to see is fewer law enforcement officers. So some of what these brothers and sisters of ours offered, quite frankly, they should have came to the town hall meeting.
That's right.
And sought to implement some of the ideas that have come from the community.
Yes.
In fact, those ideas come from
highly respected thinkers in the community. I heard Mayor Dellums pose the question, does Bart even need police? I heard that with my ears. His voice is respected. Now, that does not mean there are not times where there's a need for law enforcement, but everywhere that Bart rolls, there's a law enforcement agency in that community.
Yes,
so if there is a felony or crime that requires intervention with proper communication and agreement with local sheriffs and local police departments, they're just as close as the Bart police are, they're a car away.
That's right.
Certainly, there are alternatives beyond even what Noble offered. Noble did raise one question, and that was, does Bart need a SWAT team? I wouldn't waste my dime hiring a SWAT team, keeping them on reserve. Now there's a terrorist boogeyman under every rock. 9/11 was 8 years ago. The only reason that the dialogue is even being considered is because what happened at 9/11. However, having a SWAT team in wait, SWAT teams could not prevent what happened on 9/11. An Air Force could not prevent what happened on 9/11. So the point I'm raising here is, why are you even talking about a SWAT team? Why does Bart need a tactical unit? How many tactics are required to catch somebody that jumped the gate and didn't pay for their Bart ticket? Those kinds of crimes can be eliminated by being more visible.
That's right.
Because who's sneaking and jumping over Bart ticket machines when there's people watching them? So, sisters and brothers, on Tuesday, the Alameda County Courthouse, Renee C. Davison building, at 11:30, we're asking that everyone come and join with us. We'll speak to the press and then go on into the courtroom to show our support for the family of Oscar Grant. And of course, we the people who love life. Now, we pray that the DA will do the best of jobs. We want to help the DA to do the best of jobs. As we don't know the full range of the DA's idea about this allegation of racism that's being hurled against the people of the county of Alameda, that's been made by Mr. Raines. I can tell you this, I did read some of what the DA offered that was published in the newspaper. And let me just ask, is anyone here, maybe Dave, anybody else that has a copy of the file?
I'm gonna post one online tonight. I got
it. It'll be online tonight.
I got it yesterday.
Good, you got it? Not 75 pages, I'm sure.
17.
It's 17. It really, the Raines motion was kitchen sink stuff. Let me just throw everything out there and see if the judge will stick on to something. So the 17-page filing will be at ndbay.org/Oscar Grant tonight. That will allow us to study it carefully and see what kind of argument the DA is offering. But let's be clear. Mr. Raines' argument is that Rodney King could not get a fair trial in Los Angeles. Well, first, they took it out of the county and the people did not get a fair trial in Los Angeles. For the assaulters and the attempted murderers of Rodney King were acquitted when they moved it out to Simi Valley.
That's right.
The violence that Mr. Raines keeps referring to was a reaction from people who knew that justice had not been served.
That's right.
We knew the fix was in when they moved to trial to Simi Valley.
That's right.
And the verdict only validated the worst fears of the people from Los Angeles who already knew if you moved that trial to Simi Valley what kind of jury you would find. We would know the same thing if this trial were moved to Napa County.
Mm-hmm.
If this trial were moved to Napa County, we know that the fix is in. And then the question becomes, can a white jury convict a white officer for the murder of a black man? Now, it's never been done in California history. So the allegation that history says that it would be unfair to Mr. Medley is really a slap in the face, since no officer has ever had to come to this point. There's no precedent for it, that we would be unfair. But there are hundreds of years of precedent that says black people have been treated unfairly in the courts.
That's right.
So we wanted to prove unfairness. The evidence is very clear. So as we make our way, we're asking you, if you're a tweeter, tweet everybody. If you got email blast, then blast off. If you're on Facebook, book all your friends and ask them to RSVP so that we know that we'll be at Alameda County Courthouse in the kind of numbers that is demonstrative of the real feeling of the people of Alameda County. It is not our feeling that the city should be torn down. It is not our feeling that there should be a physical confrontation with law enforcement. In fact, at one of those hearings, we watched law enforcement officers egging on a handful of protesters, twisting their clubs, rolling up their sleeves. They wanted us to know that they'd done some curls before they came out. So you can see the police officers' bicep. Some of them put on linebacker rip pads. Literally, I'm looking at Nike swooshed. A rip pad is a forearm pad used by linebackers and others in the game of football. Now I'm looking at police officers with rip pads on. Fearing, they claim, that protesters who simply were angry about police violence were the violent ones. The protesters weren't the violent ones. Johannes Medley was the violent one.
Right, right.
Anthony Peroni was the violent one.
Right.
For them to respond with dozens and then got carried away in the name of protecting our safety. So when a young man stepped into the street trying to walk up the street for a peaceful walk, they rolled on him with multiple motorcycles, nearly knocked him down. And when he talked to them, of course, I think they arrested him for resisting arrest. That's the average black man arrest cost, which, by the way, they discovered is very high at BART police as well. And that they had no record of how many people came under that sort of abuse, according to the Noble report. They had no way of reporting. They had no numbers. They don't want to say that they back racial profiling, but they haven't taken any records to know whether or not they've been racially profiling. However, we do have a record. The record is that BART has 3 homicides against its record, and 100% of the homicide victims murdered or killed by BART police are black. So there is a record.
That's right.
But they don't take records of the stops, the harassments, the detainees. They don't take records.
Wow.
So, sisters and brothers, when we arrive on Tuesday, you want to come with a very serious demeanor.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to play. We're going to make our concerns known, heard, and felt. We don't go to issue any bail threats in our commentary.
Right.
So you won't hear any of us say that, you know, do this our way or else tonight.
That's right.
Those are not our words. That is not
right.
Our way. In fact, a wise teacher of ours once said, never speak ahead of your ability to do.
Right.
So what we go to secure is that truth stands up next to the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the problem is, when lie goes unchallenged, that far too many accept the lie as the truth. If you've read some of the commentary that is coming out now that the venue change defense argument and DA's argument is public. You know, they got a hitman over at the San Francisco Chronicle.
Chip Johnson.
Chip Johnson. That poor brother has not been to one town hall meeting.
Oh.
How did he become the voice of reason for this venue change motion?
Wow.
A black man.
Think about it.
Yeah, right.
Sit up.
On the outside. But unjust on the inside. I know he's paid by the Chronicle. That's his job. But why must the Chronicle be the voice against justice?
Well,
that if you were to read the commentary, it reminded me of the commentary that we read when the oversight review process was opened up to email and letters from the public. And it looked like 90% of those letters came from, and some of them admittedly, from BART police officers, others from the families of BART police officers, and they flooded BART's email with opposition to having an oversight process that went above the general manager's head. And if you were to read these pieces in the Chronicle, it would be clear that the same people that wrote to BART wrote to the Chronicle.
Yeah.
Then some of these wicked demons took it that they would accuse Oscar of somehow deserving what he received. And that any of these black people from Oakland should get the same.
Wow.
It's all over the Chronicle. Under the byline of Chip Johnson. The brother ought to be ashamed of himself. But there's no way he can get a fair trial. No, brother, you come to the town hall, we'll try you for treason. And I promise we can be a fair jury up in here. Because it didn't even make sense for him to take that kind of position at this kind of time. By the way, one of the published arguments of the district attorney is very real. Very good. He said you can't determine whether or not the jury pool can be fair until you first attempt to bring in a jury.
Right. That's right.
See, this just shows us how Mr. Raines has just offered the supposition that black people across the board can't be fair.
Right.
And that everybody else in the county of Alameda is so dumb they can't be fair. Therefore, before reviewing one juror, now they try to fill the jury, and an abundance of potential jurors come in and sing, "I got my mind made up." It's an old song. Chris is the only one that knows. Now, if an abundance of folk come into the jury pool and do that, okay. Then you argue your case.
Right.
But if you've not even inquired of a jury, then taking a poll from areas we know not where, with questions we don't know yet what, is not adequate to take justice out of the hands of the people of Alameda County.
Okay.
Now see, justice is represented by, and symbolically, by a woman that is blindfolded, that is holding up a scale in her hands.
Balance.
Where evidence goes on one side and heart goes on the other side, symbolic, that we should weigh the evidence with our eyes and with our hearts. But what's key here is the woman that represents justice, or first wives, women. Well, women have a tendency to demonstrate greater mercy than many men. There are some folk that would tell you that the world would not have as many wars as it has if women were heads of state more often. You ever heard that?
Yes.
I'm being sexist against men, right? No, I just know.
True.
As a male, that at a certain point, nature will kick in.
That's right.
And if what you're offering me appears to me to be a physical threat, then as a male, nature will kick in at a certain point. That's why they're trying to push Mr. Obama toward war with Iran.
Come on.
They're saying, look, Iran is building up weapons. What are you going to do about it, Obama? You don't know. You don't know. You're a liberal, but you better look at this. They're trying to push him into the feeling that he's being threatened. Watch some young men in school one day produce a fight by instigating a brother. Or another young man. You know what he said about you? He said, you ain't no good. Now, you didn't hear the comment, but then you start reacting. You might bite it for a while, okay. I hear you. And next thing you know, you look up and the instigator have produced a fight between persons who should not have had a beef with each other by making one feel threatened by the other. It happens every day in playgrounds across America and the world. So now, what is it that they're driving Mr. Obama with other than the notion of fear? So now this woman represents justice. Because in the feminine heart is a greater inclination toward mercy. You see it with babies all the time. Baby needs a diaper. Man gets angry. Woman gets up and changes the diapers. Man holds the baby off at a distance. Come get this child. Woman brings the child to her breast. Right? It's a different nature. Males and females are different. True? Nature makes us a little different. You can't, no matter what we think, we're different. Well, in that respect, justice is represented by the female because of her capacity to be fair, but even she must be blindfolded. Meaning that the color of your skin should not be the determining factor in justice. The money in your account should not be the determining factor in justice. The faith that you practice should not be the determining factor in justice. So justice is a blindfolded woman. Symbolically, you'll see it in the legal letterheads many times and legal symbolisms that you see in many offices of law. Well, that's simply to say, sisters and brothers, what Mr. Raines is arguing is that justice is not blind. Justice sees black and white. That justice is not merciful, that justice wants to throw Mesley beneath the prison. Well, the system doesn't want to do that. The DA gave him weeks to work up his defense. Every delay they have sought, they've gotten some measure of. They sought to delay the case just a few days ago. They said that their chief witness who provided the study is gravely ill, 80 years old, and could not testify. And the judge responded rightly, a gravely 80-year-old man may never testify.
That's right.
That's true.
Might
not have three moments. Not funny. His condition is what it is. But at 80 years old, if he's gravely ill, he may never recover.
That's right.
To the type of health required for an arduous court procedure. He may not need that kind of stress. If he had a heart attack, you don't put an 80-year-old heart attack victim on the stand to be scrutinized. He doesn't need that. Allow the man to recover. But if he's an expert, then surely there's someone on his staff. At 80 years old, surely he didn't anticipate doing this forever. At 80 years old, he must have an assistant somewhere, and surely with all the resources available to Attorney Raines and the police union, they could find another expert to explain his report. So the judge rightly said, no, and you messed up our calendar, so we'll go back 4 days. But that which you asked for, which was to go back weeks or months, is not going to happen. We'll see you in court on October the 6th. So we're thankful that the judge made a wise decision to pursue justice. But the last thing that we're going to do is lay back and let Mr. Raines make mockery of the process of justice by making the assumption in the public record that black people in America and in Oakland and in Alameda County are the reason that Johannes Mezley can't have a fair trial.
That's right.
If it's unfair, it's just the truth is unfair to him. Truth doesn't feel fair to him. I'm reminded of a story, and I'll close, and we'll hear from Bobby and others, and Wilson, if you'd like to add some thoughts on our strategies. That one day, two men went skinny dipping. A man called Lai took off his clothes and jumped in the water. Another man named Truth took off his clothes and jumped in the water. Well, Lai, he's a real slick character. He got out of the water and left Truth swimming. And when he got out of the water, he picked up Truth's clothes and put them on. And then he took his own clothes and took them away. When Truth discovered what happened, he, what happened? And he went after the lie. But what he found out was that raw, naked Truth was chasing after a well-dressed lie. So they're making these lies. I didn't make that up. I learned that from that. You got this lie running up the street. Representing Johannes Mezley. He's well dressed. He seems real passionate about his argument. But are you serious raising the argument that black America has been unfair to white cops? You can't be serious that that's your argument. So let me close and bring to the microphone our brother and family, uncle of Brother Oscar, to share with us his thoughts as we prepare for the Tuesday hearing. So please join me in receiving to the podium our brother and friend, Brother Cephas Johnson. Bring him on.